And I always say that, I just started it. So welcome again, Amy, take it away.
Thank you, Lisa. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Glad to be here this month with all of you. It's always nice to see everybody. And as Lisa said, Sarah, my co-chair, was unable to make it today, and I'm happy to facilitate. And I'm also happy and proud to see such a nice contingency from Boston. So we can all chime in. And it is a good idea, Lisa, to have everybody put their, where they're from, because that it's great to see, you know, how well the country is represented. And that's something that we're going to talk about today. So here are a couple of things that I wanted to mention as we go into our call today. Number one, last time we met, we really spent quite a bit of time just checking in with each other. And then we talked a little bit about, you know, some of the programming, and then we talked about, you know, sort of future ideas a little bit. And I had sent out those notes, and Lisa shared them with everybody. So if people have comments or thoughts that they want to add to that, feel free. But today, what I'd like to do is spend the time that we have together. I do want to go around. I don't want to take as long as we did last time, but I do want to just have you say your name. And actually, I'm going to ask people to just use one word or phrase, and I really just need you to keep it at that, just describing, again, I want this to be about you, how you're doing now, today, this week, just one word, one phrase, just so we can all kind of hear where everybody is. Then I'd like to spend some time talking a little bit about this whole concept as we're hearing it, or maybe some of us are not hearing it across the country, about this whole idea about reopening.
What's happening?
Are in their organizations or not, wherever they are, just to see what kind of things you're thinking about. And I do have some prompts for people that we can talk about. But I also want to comment on two things. Number one, the early conversation as people were coming on was about assessments. And I want to say that I think we can absolutely use this group to not just focus on COVID-related things. So if we do want to maybe break it up a little bit next month, talk about assessments and how we're going to navigate them virtually, if that's the new reality, you know, I think that's a great topic. I think we really have questions about that. People are using assessments. What are they using? How are they using it? So we can revisit that. Happy to do that. And again, if you have thoughts that are coming to you as we speak today, and you want to let me know what those topics are, again, you know, COVID related or not, please don't hesitate to email me or Lisa, and we can look at putting them into our agenda. I also want to, if people would like, I think it would be great, Sherry, it's good to see you, good to have you here. And if you're, you know, you're part of that JPRO group, you're yes. facilitating that group, mm-hmm. It'd be good to give you a chance to talk about that, because that's a new group that NJHSA is kind of facilitating, and I think it's a really, really cool opportunity for workforce development professionals to hear about what you're doing with that and our role in that, and you're representing us, so to speak. So we'd love to welcome you to give a little intro on that, but I'm going to have you hold off just for a second, and let's do the go-round, the quick go-round.
One word.
I'll give you a phrase. You have to say a phrase, but that's it. We'll mute you if you go too long, because we really want to get into the other topic.
So,
what?
Start.
Me. Okay. So Amy Mazur, JDS Boston. And the one word I have is concerned. Concern. I have some concerns. Who'd like to go next? Should we go based on my screen?
Amy, you call them because you have the screen.
Okay. I'm going to call them. So we lost Lois. She's next to me. But Lisa, you want to have a chance to go? You're next to me on the
sure.
other side.
Busy.
Busy. Okay. Divya, you're next.
Yeah, I'm from JVS Boston, and I think the feeling that I've had recently has been a little sadness. I have a daughter that's in Chicago, and I'm a little uncertain about when we'll be able to see her.
Okay. Thank you. Lisa. Lisa A.
Lisa August from Jewish Family Service Buffalo. The word is, phrase is high and low.
Okay.
What's good. The word?
High and low.
High and low. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Debbie S.
Okay, I'm Debbie Silver, and I'm from JVS Human Services in Detroit. And I'm going to use a phrase, getting the hang of how to work from home. You know, okay. Eight Good. Weeks in, I'm getting the hang of it.
Good. Thank you. Carolyn.
Carolyn Shoemaker from JVS Boston, settled in.
Okay. Judy Sachs.
Yes, Judy from also JVS Boston, and I would say engaged.
Great. All right. Pam. Pam, you're muted. Hold on.
You have to unmute yourself. She will.
Okay.
There you go. We can't hear you.
It's still not working, Pam.
You know what? Maybe you're at the bottom. There's a microphone. Maybe turn that up. You know.
Is your volume down?
It's her volume being down. Wouldn't impact us, would it?
Mm-mm. No.
You can write it in the chat.
Yeah, let us know how you, what your word is in the chat, Pam. We hope to hear from you, though. Sherry, you're next.
So I'm Sherry James from Detroit, and I just came back from furlough on Monday, and I'm feeling overwhelmed. There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Jason, you're next.
Hi, Jason Charnas from JVS Human Services in Detroit. I'm experiencing a lot of uncertainty.
Okay. Sylvia, from Teachers Off. Did you hear the prompt, Sylvia?
Yeah, of course I heard the prompt. I was just muted and camera off, but I'm annoyed. I went to the store with my mask and all of my protective gear. Not a single person in a crowded store had a single mask on.
Wow. Okay.
That was me today. Yeah. Annoyed.
Mm. All right. Thank you. Sandra.
Hi, this is Sandra Leshaw from Jewish Family and Children's Services in Teaneck. I'm actually in the car, so you'll forgive the background noise. I'll remute in a minute. My phrase or word would be empathetic. The reason I'm in the car is I went to visit a family member who's having a very tough time today, and I traveled quite a ways to sit in a car 10 feet away and just chat a little bit and make them feel better. So that's my word.
Thank you. Jennifer?
Hi, Jennifer Craffel in JCFS Chicago, and I also feel busy.
Easy. Okay, great. Angelica.
Hi, everyone. I'm Angelica Sandoval from JFS in Boca Raton, Florida. I have lots of words, but I'll just say tired.
Well, you have a new baby, so that's fair.
No, not yet. I'm 9 months pregnant and homeschooling two kids right now. So not there yet.
Yeah, it's close. You're close. Okay.
It's close, so, yeah.
Yeah, so Angelique, I'm sorry I mispronounced your name, but
okay.
Glad you're on the call.
Thank you.
Leah.
I'm Leah Wing from Jewish Family Service of Colorado, and I think my word would be patient, kind of mandated patience, I suppose. Just kind of waiting to see how things progress and making sure that, you know, we're protecting our vulnerable clients, as we do have many.
Great, thank you. Okay. And the last person is on the phone, 908.
Hi, this is Elise from Jewish Family Service in Somerville, New Jersey, and I would have to say very busy.
Busy, okay. Great. Okay, thank you, Elise. Good to have you on the call. Okay, great. So Pam, feel free to, you know, say your word in the chat room if you want, and hopefully we can hear you at some point.
Right now?
Oh, yes. Good. You're on.
Fixed it. Thanks. I would say uncertain.
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 Uncertain. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you all. And I think we really got a good variety of reactions and thoughts and sort of words about where people are these days. So why don't we start with... because we are, again, because we're all over the country and we are all in different sort of pockets of this experience, if people in their organizations or even in their communities are hearing things about reopening and your own reactions, and your, feel free to, let's talk about that. Let's open it up. And I think I can, if you want to raise your hand by doing it through the chat, or some of you, I guess, probably driving shouldn't be doing that. But if people want to speak, I can see you if you raise your hand too, some of you, and then others of you, if you want to put something in the chat room, just let's open it up. And so I won't unmute everybody because of the distracting noises perhaps behind, but I'd like to just give people an opportunity to talk about what's going on in their communities with regard to any conversations that are happening around reopening. I'll start with Boston, and Judy Sachs, you have to help me out because I'm too low on the totem pole. You know more than I do. But basically what I will say is in Boston, we are, or Carolyn or Divya, if either of you have heard, but basically in the circle within the department that I work in, what we have heard, all that we have heard, and you both can confirm, is that they're talking about it. That there are people who are about to get together to begin to talk about it. That there is going to be a task force, and they're putting it together, and they're going to begin to talk about it. But other than that, we are we're hunkering down, and nothing. There's not any activity that we know about on the ground level that is. That's happening in Boston. We're staying where we are. Judy Sachs, do you have other information you want to share that you know about?
No, I think in summary, that's exactly what's happening. What I'm happy about is that it seems to be an inclusive process, a collaborative process. There are like three different task forces, but right now I've forgotten what they are. And also there's a survey that everybody is supposed to answer very soon. And it has lots of questions about what you're worried about, what you're concerned about, how you feel things have gone so far. I think it will be a very much a phased return whenever it starts. And I don't know when it starts. And those of us, I work now in a different department from Amy and Carolyn and Divya, we're not client facing. So there's a tremendous amount that I can do at home. I would just like to go in more to connect with my colleagues than actually the need to be productive. So it depends if you're client facing or not. But yeah, I don't have any particular other insight.
Thank you.
I had a question. The survey that you're talking about, is that going to staff?
Yes.
And so, and the purpose of that is to determine if staff can stay home, if they,
not necessarily, no. It's really to take the pulse of staff, how they're feeling so far.
Oh, just around this whole COVID thing.
Yeah, right. but not just the COVID thing, but how the agency has been responsive, or if there are areas where the agency could have been better, or, you know, I think, what do you think, guys from Boston? I think it's a good survey.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's something that we could have on the in the resource library of the network, because it sounds like potentially other agencies could tailor it to their own responses. It could be good.
Do you want me to ask? It comes from our
Mary?
VP of our of human resources, or whatever it is we call that department.
People and culture.
People and culture, yeah, sorry.
Okay, sounds good. Ask them. Vice President of People and Culture.
I'll ask Kayla, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
They ask about, you know, if you were looking at coming back, what would be your concerns? And they have a long, long list, including, you know, I'm a caregiver. But, I mean, very, you know, I'm worried about coming back on public transportation. Just a lot of different kind of options. So I think they're looking for sort of where are people's concerns focused at this point?
I think that sounds great.
Yeah, I think it's a, yeah. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
As an agency, I think we've done a nice job of transitioning to remote work. I know, Judy, you felt like you could do your job remotely. I feel like I'm able to serve my clients pretty well remotely as well.
So now as we're all getting settled in, we're going to start sort of phasing the other way. But yeah, so those two, the task force and the survey are sort of a overview of some of the, what's happening in Boston. And it's not moving quickly, and frankly, I'm happy about that. It needs to be something that's thought out, because we're pretty hard hit in terms of this virus. So
well, agencies like Florida, right? Agencies of Florida, yeah. You guys are coming back, right?
Yeah. Somebody else want to share? Anybody others for areas of the country? Jason, you want to go? Go ahead and remind us where you're from.
From Detroit. So I can't speak in terms of our agencies in the plan that's happening above me, but here in Detroit, most businesses are still closed with the stay-at-home order through the end of the month of May. And so there's still, you know, people working, but we continue to be very slow, relatively quiet in terms of people beginning to start to look for work. And the plan, I know there are conversations about the plan, about what will happen and how we'll reopen, but those, like I said, are happening really beyond both me, Sherry, and Debbie from Detroit that are on this call right now.
Okay. Other people who want to share what's happening in their communities, whether it be the organization they're in specifically, or other things that are happening around them, and your reactions to it are welcome as well.
I'll go. It's Angelica. We started discussing a re-entry plan probably about 2 weeks ago, with a goal at this point of mid-June. Nothing's set in stone because everything's changing day by day. So each department at the agency had to come up with some sort of proposed reopening plan that would allow for clients to actually come back in person and social distancing. So we've had to really look at how we could really accomplish that. We've held everything so far online, Zoom appointments, phone appointments. And surprisingly, despite the fact that we had concerns about our clients' computer skills, they've been really engaged in all of the webinars, and we've had actually greater attendance than we do when we have in person. So as part of
the country.
So as part of our proposal, what I did propose is that we have a staggered staff schedule, but continue to hold most of our appointments and workshops online. So we're still working on it. And again, mid-June is not set in stone. By that time also, I'll be on maternity leave. So I'm depending on my staff to kind of carry those things out. But we're still working on it, still work in progress.
Angelica, when are you due?
June 17th.
June 17th.
Uh-huh. So Angelica, I want to ask you something related to what you just said, because you had talked, I remember when we were on the very first call right after the some places started closing, and you were one of the few of us who was still in the office.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
And so there was, so you've had a pretty small window. Some of us have been had a longer window of being remote. You've had a fair, it sounds like comparing it to Boston, it's a much smaller window. Would you say that's true in terms of like the period of time you've been away?
I feel like I'm kind of losing track of time as to how long we've been home, honestly. I think that we went home officially mid-March. Or maybe the third, fourth week of March, something like that. So I guess that may not have been as long as some of the other agencies. But I'm losing track of time, honestly. It's like I've been home forever, actually.
Right.
Feels like a long time.
Yeah.
It's just interesting in terms of the difference in some of the places in the country.
Yeah. I mean, it got pretty bad in West Palm Beach. But things are starting to reopen. Restaurants are reopening. They're reopening, you know, the hair salons, all the essentials. Exactly. Hair salons and golf clubs, things like that, golf courses and such.
Right. Oh, gosh. All right. Thank you.
I think that this pandemic has really changed the way that agencies are operating and that they will operate moving forward. Like Angelica just said that, you know, you're going to keep your webinars online, you know, that's pretty, you know, significant, right? And you're getting more clients. Are they paying? That's the key. Are people going to pay when they're online?
So we never charge specifically for our workshops and webinars. We had a few fee-for-service programs, but our workshop series and career counseling was always free. So that hasn't changed. The revenue-generating programs that we did have, we have not been seeing a lot of people participating in those because, you know, money's tight. People are not looking to spend money if they don't have to. So we'll really have to kind of explore how we're going to roll those out again once we're fully functional in the office again.
Right. And if you're not, you know, do you change your fee structure for these online offerings? I don't know.
Right.
Go ahead, Lisa. A, what's going on for you guys?
Well, we, as we're mentioning fee for service, I wanted to say we're handling it in that I do appointments via phone or Zoom, and I have a confirmation email that I send out, and people need to pay the day before, and they're doing that. At first, I said, go ahead and pay, and then I'd have to chase them a little bit. They'd forget, whatnot, but now when I've said it must be done by the end of the business day on this date, they do it. You know, and that way I have the confirmation email and I know that it's been paid because we don't have a billing system set up for fee for service. With our agency, things are still up in the air. In New York State, we have benchmarks we need to meet, and I think the state is going to open based on what's going on in your county. There's 7 benchmarks that need to be met for a county to be able to open. Erie County, where Buffalo is, with Buffalo being the second largest municipality outside of the boroughs, you know, we've had challenges. I think we'll be one of the last to open, and it is going to be a phased in industries coming through. But honestly, there have been employers hiring, and we've been able to see clients and work with clients. Our clients have had different feelings about going to work. And then we've had quite a few clients that really are engaged in decision-making because they're, you know, thinking about things overall, I think is a good way to put it. In terms of our agency, we've talked about, we don't have a timeline yet, but we've also talked about a phased in who's coming back to the office when in the different departments. We're also looking at how we're going to be socially distanced within the office. I've got a particular challenge in that I see people in another county, and I have a satellite office that an educational organization that we had an arrangement with where I could use the offices there, but we don't know when they're open, and that presents a little bit of a problem because some of the people in that county need, they don't have the greatest tech access. Mm-hmm. So I'm dealing with that a little bit. I've had to be really organized, have a lot more lists, and really keep on track of where everybody is with our client base. So,
yeah.
So, but Lisa, I'm busy. Yeah.
Lisa, when you were saying how they're kind of determining who is going to be coming back as they phase it in, do you know what the criteria, or how they're figuring out the criteria of who comes back when, or is that not, you haven't gotten that far in the process yet?
You mean for our office?
Yeah.
We haven't gotten that far yet. One of the departments we have is something called Health Home, which is Medicaid care management. They may come back last because they see clients in their homes very frequently. So the therapists, the mental health therapists are already working in the office via phone and video, I believe. Mm-hmm. So they're in the office. Our administrative staff is in the office, and mm-hmm. I don't know what we're going to do with career services and resettlement. Yeah, no, it's hard to say. We're not quite that far yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Debbie was going to say something. Yeah,
Debbie.
I have a question. You mentioned that you're having clients pay the day before for their services. Mm-hmm. How are you doing that? What method are you using?
Oh, by credit card. They just have to call our front desk and give them the credit card number.
Okay.
And then the staff, if they want a receipt, the staff will mail them a receipt.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, great.
That's worked out okay. That's worked out okay so far.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you. Uh-huh.
Thank you. So how about Jennifer in Chicago or Pam in Pittsburgh, some of the other spots? Anybody want to speak about places, anything going on there?
Sure. It sounds like we're in about the same place as Boston. So,
wait, we can't hear you, Jennifer.
Jennifer, speak up.
You have to turn your volume up for us.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, there you go.
We're in about the same place as Boston, I think. It sounds, you know, we have a task force that's just starting, so we're at a stay-at-home order until through May 30th. So we're just now starting to kind of talk about what that will look like, but nothing, certainly a phased opening. I'm sure a lot of our services will remain online for some time. Again, same thing, like not having clients in the office or anything like that, being able to do things online. Not much more that I know of beyond May 30th at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Pam, go ahead.
In Pittsburgh, we are one of the counties that's moving into what's called the yellow phase on Friday, which is a gradual reopening. It's kind of confusing. Nobody's quite sure what exactly that means. But in terms of our agency, it doesn't really mean anything because we are going to continue to stay working from home for the foreseeable future in terms of that. Things are going well. Same as everybody else. We're seeing more participation in our workshops than we ever have before. Counseling's probably about the same. Not maybe as many new clients coming in, but the current clients are using our services more frequently. Whether before it was every 2 weeks, now it seems to be weekly. So we're just going to have to see. I think there's a lot of uncertainty with Friday as to what's going to happen. Are people going to abide by the rules? Because it's yellow, but it's pretty restrictive in terms of that. But, you know, people, if you give them an inch, they'll go a mile a lot of times.
Right.
So I just want to ask you, Pam, so you're saying that the surrounding area is yellow, but your organization is not, is being more conservative than...
In the yellow phase, the governor's call is if your organization or business can continue to work remotely, you should continue to work remotely. From the beginning, we have been deemed an essential service, which means that people could come into the office. There are some people, but it's very, very limited. They may come in for an hour or two. And then our food pantry is still up and running in a different format. But in terms of career counseling, none of us are in the office on any regular basis. Everybody's remote. And, you know, our CFO is saying basically we're going to continue this remote until it's safe. So, we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, Sherry, go ahead.
Oh, I had to go into the office to pick up a new computer on Monday, and it was just really weird to actually walk in the building. I was kind of excited because I miss everyone, and I saw the COO, and we were both excited to see each other, but he did say it's going to be a long time before we start to get back to groups, and we're all going to work virtually. And it was everything was disinfected. All the furniture's moved from the lobby to have chairs 6 feet apart, and there's like a big screen with, when you come in and you have to answer all the COVID questions. So it's kind of an eerie feeling when you actually go back in. So just wanted to say that.
Yeah. Were they wearing masks?
Yes.
Were you wearing a mask too?
Yeah, it's required. Yeah.
You have your own separate building too? It's your own building?
It's JVS there, yeah. Their own, and I have my separate office, and I just walked in to get my, just get my computer, and I was only there very briefly, but it was nice to see a couple people that I haven't seen for a long, but we're in masks talking, and it was weird to be.
Yeah.
You had said you were furloughed, Sherry, so and you just came back. How long were you furloughed?
I think 5 weeks I was furloughed. Yeah. 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. Okay. It wasn't too long.
Yeah.
Okay. 18,000 people were let go from the JCCs, right, across the country. So that's just the JCCs. Mm-hmm. That's not Federation. That's not synagogues. Mm-hmm. Sherry and I know because we were doing the JPRO groups. And it's just an amazing amount of people in the Jewish communal field. And I asked Amy to ask you, but I'm going to ask, you know, is anyone seeing these people coming into your offices to get support, get help, get career counseling? You know, that's not happening. And that's what's so weird. But I guess it will happen once this unemployment runs out in July. And then it's going to be an onslaught.
Lisa, what was that number that you said of how many people were let go?
18,000. I know only 18,000.
The number from the GCCs.
But a lot more, you know, if you're counting Federation and synagogue and day schools and things like that, right?
Wow, and
Jewish preschools. And
wow, that's unbelievable.
And what's unbelievable is that no one's coming in for, unemployment support now. This is, you know, when they could be doing it, get a jump start. But I don't know if we need to educate. You know, we're trying to start a national initiative through the network and JVS agencies, which I'm sure you all will hear about. But because I feel like it's really something that is going to impact all of the workforce development agencies.
So Pam, I saw your hand, and then Sherry. So Pam, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, funny you should say that. I actually have a new client right after this meeting who's a JCC layoff. So, but that's the first that I've heard of in terms of that. And we have a pretty strong relationship here in Pittsburgh with our JCCs.
That's interesting.
So I don't know if JVS agencies should reach out to their JCCs and their communities just to let them know. I mean, I'm sure I don't even know if the execs are still around. I imagine they are, but it's, I don't know. I'll know more later.
Yeah. Sherry, what did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just think people too are frozen. They're not really sure what they're doing. And a lot of people, you know, if you're collecting unemployment and with the extra money from the federal government are doing okay. So right. They're taking a mental break, right? It just seems like they're taking a mental break,
right.
a little bit of time out for themselves, and they're going to come back closer to, we all know we're all working in employment for a long time. People don't start to really hustle until the end is near for the, you know, their finances. People are on vacation now. People are, you know, so there's a lot of varied reasons. I think that's one of the major ones. So.
Yeah, I could just say that I had initially it wasn't the Jewish communal people, but I had clients who at the beginning were like, okay, I'll call you later. And now when I'm reconnecting, they're coming back. They are coming back. So it's interesting. Yeah, let me start thinking about this. So it's an interesting phenomenon. But yeah, just quick question to the, because we have so many people in Boston. Do we know what's going on with the JCCs in this area? Has there been a big? I don't think there's been a big cut here. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure there has been.
You think so?
I wonder if they got furloughed rather than laid off, and if they think that they'll be going back.
Yeah, we didn't hear about it though. I don't remember any real. And Judy is Judy Sachs is on that, so I don't think it's happening.
I haven't heard, but now I'm going to look into it. I haven't heard one word.
Well, post it if you know. Let me know if it is or isn't. But it just seems like what I've heard is that. Most of the JCCs have shut down because they can't do any of the things that they normally do, which is preschool, gym,
right.
All of the things that people do, go swimming, you know. And so those staff have been let go.
Wow.
I know Sherry said that, and we're, you know, we sort of expect people to start reaching out to us as July gets to, looks to start to end and that money starts to run out. Though from where I sit, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see people looking for jobs or many that won't start until their kids are back in school, working parents that may be furloughed or unemployed. And they want to make sure they have childcare lined up and school is going to be it. And we may not see anything until the end of August or September.
Wow.
It's a big unknown, and we don't know what, you know, if or when a second wave will come and what that will look like. I absolutely won't be surprised if we don't really see a lot of job seekers out in force until then. And of course, for us in Detroit, and I'm sure many other communities, the other big factor is, even if that money runs out from the federal government, doesn't mean there's employers that are hiring.
Right.
I think there's a lot of employers that are frozen. Sure, there's jobs open and there are essential workers, but by and large, we may not see anything for a while. And so it may slow it down and stagger that workforce reentry way slower than we may be hoping happens from a, you know, really optimistic standpoint.
Right. Well, yesterday there was a webinar, and I'm not sure if any of you were on it or if your CEOs were on it. CVS, right? CVS is hiring 50,000 people because they want to do online contract tracing or something like that. I'm not even sure, but I don't know what they want to hire people for, but they want to do things online. And there's an opportunity. And if you're interested, if you think that that might be something that your agency wants to be involved in, and if they're not already involved, mention it to your CEOs.
I sat through that webinar. I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, just to listen to the process and what they're doing. And so did our job developer. We were just discussing the fact that, you know, it takes, they said, an hour to 2 hours to complete their application. Mm-hmm. And in the Florida area, some of the jobs that we saw were drivers that pay about like $8.50 an hour. That's a really long application process for a job that really wouldn't be self-sustaining for any of our folks. Mm-hmm. But we're not eliminating it as an option. I just thought it was kind of interesting. It's a really long process, application process.
Mm-hmm. But aren't there other jobs that pay more?
There are other jobs that pay more. There was, I think, pharmacy tech and a few others. But, I'm looking at what some of our folks would actually qualify for off the bat. Uh-huh. It would actually take a lot for us to get them through the application process for some of those jobs that wouldn't net a lot.
Gotcha.
I think, and I don't know if anybody else is experiencing this, but what we're finding too is that, you know, with unemployment and the additional amount they're supposed to provide, a lot of our clients would make more staying home than they would going back to work. And I don't know if any of your clients are expressing that or talking about that.
Every person has nodded their head.
Can't see. So it's kind of like a weird situation. You know, in Florida, our minimum wage, I think it's $8.46. If you were anywhere near the max, and even if you weren't near the max, which is $2.75 in Florida, with that additional $600, staying home is a better benefit Absolutely. Than actually going out to work some of these jobs.
Wow. My understanding is that they did that on purpose to incentivize people to stay home during the lockdowns. But now, you know, I mean, maybe I misunderstood, but I remember reading a couple articles about that. And now, you know, it's an interesting thing. Judy Sachs, you wanted to say something?
I just wanted to mention that, is today Wednesday?
No.
Tomorrow, JVS Boston is having something, we call it an economic forum. Now, it may be more relevant to the Boston labor market, but it promises to be quite interesting. Our CEO, Jerry Rubin, and the Secretary of Labor, is that her title?
Secretary of Labor and Workforce Development.
Workforce Development are going to have a one-hour conversation about workforce development in the age of COVID-19. Now, it's a Zoom thing, and if you want to join in, it's Eastern time, to noon to 1. We already have over 300 people.
But wow, that's great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'll send something to you, Lisa, and then you can.
Okay. Yeah. Now, like I said, I don't know whether, I imagine they'll focus a little bit more on Boston, but that doesn't mean that it's not relevant throughout the country.
Thanks, yeah. Judy, for mentioning that. So is anybody seeing folks come in because of any massive layoffs? Are your organizations dealing with that in any way? Anybody seeing that? No. Okay, just curious about that in the country. And I also want to make sure that people who haven't shared get a chance to share if they want to say anything about reopening, their thoughts, or what's going on in their communities. Leah, Elise, who else did I miss? Anybody want to say? Leah, go ahead.
I think the only thing that I'm wondering is if, so it sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong, that the $600 a week through unemployment goes to July 31st. So I'm wondering if that's not you know, reinstated in any way, if August 1st, it looks a lot different than it does this summer. And I'm also working with TANF clients doing business outreach, as well as direct service and job development with clients with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So it's two very different sets of issues I think we're seeing. So it's interesting to see, you know, how unemployment affects one group versus the other. I think right now for us, it's just a waiting game. But it's interesting to hear how everything's going in different areas of the country.
Yeah. Elise, go ahead. You want to say something, Elise? Or no? Just,
no? Hi. It's Elise. We're in New Jersey, and we've spoken a little bit about reopening, but I don't think we're close to that yet. Most of us have adjusted pretty well to working remotely. We have a small agency anyway. Most of our offices are small, so we've realized that it's going to be a long time before we'll be able to see clients in the office. You know, unless we each took turns in the conference room, I don't think any of our offices are, you know, more than 6 feet away from a chair. So I think it's going to be quite a while. Some people go in, you know, take turns going in every once in a while to do some work. But I don't think we're close to being there yet.
You bring up a super big point, Elise, important point, I guess, about office space. Feet away, because I don't know how many offices have that large a space, you know, in order to
Right. Yeah. I mean, we can go in, but we'd still have to see our clients remotely. So I'm not so sure, you know, that we all need to go in every day, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. So I'm sort of keeping a list of some of the themes, and I'll report them back. Actually, Sandra, did you want to say anything before we kind of want to comment?
Yeah.
I think everybody else has spoken. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do. Am I audible?
Yes.
So a couple of things. One, with regard to reopening, we're just starting to do a quick survey to find out who has to work with whom within the organization to see how many people we could have in at the same time. We're probably talking about roughly 25% of the staff for 3 days a week, but it's still in the talking stages, and that's not going to happen at least for another 4 weeks. So we're sort of just beginning to talk about that. And I just wanted to bring up another topic. I don't know whether anybody was on that New Start Career Network talk about maybe a week and a half or 2 weeks ago with a fellow named Colin von Liebtag. And he spoke, he's a very interesting guy. He had a lot to say. He's affiliated with Rutgers and I believe the workforce development program there. And one of the things he spoke about was college graduates. And I was surprised to hear, assuming his statistic is on target, that this could affect college graduates for up to 15 years.
Oh, gosh.
In their trajectory.
Don't say that. My daughter's graduating.
so that would kind of blew my mind. But it made us think about maybe this is a whole subgroup that we could create to help college graduates. And maybe a revenue, you know, if not big, some kind of revenue stream, because we have more expenses of people trying to help the unemployed, and there's nothing else coming in. So I just wanted to see if anybody else is doing anything with college graduates or anybody's thoughts on that. I'm just interested in that.
So thank you, Sandra. I think, let's talk about that for a second. I just want to remind, to comment that the forum that Sandra's talking about, remember on one of our calls, we had Michelle Martin, who was part of New Start Career Network, the Rutgers organization. I highly recommend you get on their mailing list, New Start Career Network, because they are offering a lot of really, really good webinars. And the one that Sandra referenced was very, very good. And he actually, he talked a lot, correct me if I'm wrong, Sandra, he made a lot of comparisons to the 2008 recession. And he talked a lot about the students then. And remember that? Remember what was, they got pushed back their whole, remember how they were going to be
Absolutely.
Like their income was going to be affected and all that. And this is what, and it's a really, he was really using that data really in an interesting way. So I highly recommend that you get on their mailing list and just see about the webinars. They're very good. They get good speakers.
Amy, can I ask a question?
Yes.
I agree with you. I remember the exact same conversation after the 2008 thing. And it's pretty devastating to hear that you're, for 10 or 15 years, you're not going to make, you're going to be behind in income. But do you know if that's proven to be the fact since it's now 2020 and that was, you know, did it happen that way?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. He didn't give facts on the ground for the wrap up of what happened in 08-09, but as if he spoke about it as if that's a given that there's that tremendous an impact on the college graduate community.
That would be interesting to follow up with. That's a good thing to maybe try to find. Yeah, good question, Jean.
Ask Michelle.
Extremely depressing, though. I would not want to talk to young people, you know, and say, you know, dwell on that. It's depressing enough.
Well, I wouldn't say that to them, of course. I mean, we wouldn't go in with that. But I think just knowing that there's going to be some impact, that it's a population that maybe feels like they may not need the help, but in fact they do, and we could sort of put people on the right track a little bit better.
That's so true. We had that experience in Boston. We were really trying to be actively, remember Judy?
Yeah.
You know, reaching out to that group, and it's a tough, you're right, they often think, you know, or they don't, something about the way we offer the service, we have to be really creative about it because they're a tough sell, I think. You know?
Yeah, we learned the phrase, they don't know what they don't know until they come in and find out how we could smooth the rough edges and how we could give them a leg up. They you know, what do we need a place like that for? We can do everything online or whatnot. Right. So, and then when we saw them, they realized it. But we didn't see them in great marketing numbers.
So Judy, maybe that's your marketing somehow. You know, if you had any sort of numbers from 2008, you know, how many college students you saw and how many got jobs or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, I think, to be honest, our staff was, you know, a little bit long in the teeth. So we did have some young people that were, it was helpful to have. that was a nice mix, to be honest, you know, to say it bluntly, but yeah, that helped. That helped a lot, I think, you know, to have the mix. Cause we, you know,
if you market your services to college students, you know, somehow you get that out on social media or you get that out,
right,
you know, and however you do it, then potentially you would get, you know, clients.
So I started last week and early this week reaching out to our local Hillels and to the staff there with a variety of, just the start of a conversation from encouraging them and asking them to share some of our upcoming webinars with their students, especially the graduating students that have now lost out on that work experience, internships, many of them, to think what we can do together to create relevant topics that is for them and their staff or their students only, with the idea that, right, they don't maybe see the relevance of this global webinar, but if we can target it specific to them at that university, we may get some better traction. And also the Hillels have said, you know, we don't usually communicate like this with students after the semester and throughout the summer. So many of them go on to internships and work at summer camps, many of which are non-existent. And so they're also, you know, trying to reestablish or maintain those relationships. So what will come of it? Will we have success? I hope yes. And I recognize also that it's a tough group to get engaged because they are coming off of and still with the mentality of they already know everything and they don't need the help. But hopefully we'll be able to get there and provide some of that as a resource to them.
But maybe this time, this pandemic, they realize they do need the help. It's a different.
Yeah, well, they're willing, and we don't need everybody, right? We just want the ones that are looking for it or see the value in it. And
right.
and we'll take that from there.
Yeah, that could be another topic for one of these calls. You may come back, Jason, and do a little presentation on it.
let's see what happens in the next couple of weeks for sure. I'd be happy to, Amy.
Yeah, okay, good. Lisa, A, go ahead. You want to talk?
I've mentioned to some of you that I teach adjunct at a local college, and I was speaking with one of my students. We were talking about career things. She'd asked for some of my advice that just comes as part of being their professor, you know. And she said, I don't know, maybe I, you know, she's going into healthcare administration. And she said, maybe I should wait until this whole COVID thing is over. And I said, over? I think this is a new normal. It's not really going to be over. The things are evolving. And in my opinion, I mean, I've worked, before I was with JFS Buffalo, I worked in university career services for 20 years. And I think that things are going to evolve. And I think that there is going to be some things that aren't what they used to be, but I think there are going to be some new things that come up within their place. There may be some new opportunities. And the way in which organizations conceptualize work means that graduates have to offer in a different way and perhaps look in a different way. The other I'd be interested to know more about the statement, it's going to affect them for the next 15 years. Well, whenever you graduate, the market affects the trajectory of your career anyway. And I don't know that it's all going to be negative. I'm not sure that that's true. The second thing is they're exhausted. I mean, the transition to remote learning, Lisa, I don't, those of you that have college age kids, I don't know what you've experienced, but they were upended. They're upended too. And right now they're saying, man, I just want to get through this. I turned in my grades this morning. Okay. Our grades were due at 9 o'clock this morning. They get their grades tomorrow. I know other schools, they're right in the thick of finals. So I think we're also seeing a fatigue, and I think there does need to be a message of hope and preparation that, yeah, they don't know. There's some denial out there, and they think it's going to go back to normal, not just from this one, what this one student said, but I think we have to be there to answer questions and things like that. So I don't know, that there were a whole lot of thoughts on that, but yeah. I think it can't all be bad. We have to help find the good in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Knowing those realities as we understand them, you know, then what are we going to do to really look for? Yeah. So thank you all. This is great. I want to kind of pull together some themes I heard or some things about this kind of reopening, just to share with you what some of the things that people were talking about, just so you have this, and I'll send this in an email follow-up as well. And then I want to give Sherry a chance with Lisa to talk a little bit about your JPRO, program a little bit, if that's okay. So let me just tell you what I have.
I think I
down as some themes. What?
I think I may. I think I have another webinar. I'm going to make you the co-host, Amy, and I'm going to say goodbye to everyone. Thank you so much for staying on here. Yeah.
All right. Take care. Coming.
Okay, if I can figure out how to do it, I'll do it.
We may end anyway.
I hope not.
All right, so here's a couple things I heard. One is, in terms of reopening, a little bit of a surprise around people's ability to navigate technology in ways that people hadn't necessarily anticipated. That was one thing that I heard, and that we've experienced as well, that we're sort of, people are getting it. They're doing better than we thought. Another was this whole area of real estate. Not only the buildings, but also the space and what that's going to look like or not look like as we look at this moving forward. Lots of people talked about the different spaces they were in or how they're going to have to rejigger those. The other question, the other theme was sort of the staggering, who's coming, who's not coming, how that's going to look. That's a whole different thing. The question of how essential we are. Some have been deemed essential services, others maybe not in different places. So you know, the essential aspect of the work we do. The issues of public transportation and childcare, those came up. Or maybe that public transportation didn't come up, but I thought about it as we were talking about these kind of issues. But in some communities, public transportation is a huge issue. Others, it's not as much because it's the way that they're set up. But those kinds of issues are going to have an effect. So those were just a couple of the themes that I heard in addition to some of the broader ones, just ways that we're kind of coming into this and then, you know, having to think about it. Okay, so again, thank you all. That was a really, really good discussion. So what I wanted to do at this point is just take a minute to say a little bit about this program that NJHSA is promoting. And Sherry, you want to speak for a minute about what you're doing with that?
So we had our first meeting yesterday, a peer support group meeting, and there were 12 people on the call from all across the United States, Canada. Somebody was on the call, you know, it was international, let's say. And they all had all the same issues that we're talking about here today. A lot of grief and loss, a lot of family issues, just everything that we've kind of mentioned today. So, but really people were really actually happy to see each other and kind of be together in working through similar situations. So it's the first meeting of six. So we will continue to meet five more sessions and hopefully build. A lot of people wanted to create a network for themselves, brainstorm ideas of what we can do, you know, while we're on, you know, furlough, laid off, all those things. So
tell everybody who the group is made up of.
Do you mean Jewish, like the people that work in the Jewish agencies? Is that what you mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All Jewish agencies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a group that.
There are two groups, Amy.
Go ahead, Lisa. So why don't you just give a little overview?
Right. So, and now there's going to be a third, and potentially there could be more. And there's a social worker and a career counselor in each of the groups. And it was supposed to be just a support group to talk about their thoughts and feelings, but I realized, hello, you can talk all you want, but you actually need to take some action. So it's nice to have career counselors in there too. And if any of you are interested in potentially leading a group with a social worker in this capacity, and that's what you'd like to do, then let me know and I'll put you on my list for the next time that we work together, even though I have to make sure that your CEO approves of your doing it. But basically, in my group, the people, I don't know, Sherry, if your group was the same, you know, there was a mix of people that were really angry with the Jewish community, the way it was done, you know, just you have to leave that same day. Some people were really upset because, some people were happy because they've been wanting to leave their job and just needed the push to get out, right? Mm-hmm. There were some people who really felt regret because, I don't know if you know, in the Jewish community, a lot of times people move. So someone had been in their job that they loved for 5 years and someone suggested they move somewhere else. And 6 months later, this happens, right? And the other job is, you know, fine. And, you know, things like that. But what came out of my group, I don't know, Sherry, if this came out of yours, is that they were talking about LinkedIn. And this one woman said that she heard from her friends that she should write some sort of very personal story about what happened to her. And so she did this on her LinkedIn account and it went viral. And she had 1,700 people who saw it, who became her friend or whatever happens on LinkedIn. And she has had like 4 interviews in the past week because of this one, you know, honest, you know, 4-paragraph story about how this was her dream job. She was let go. I don't even know what she said because I need to really follow LinkedIn a little bit more than I do. But everyone wants, in my group, wanted the emails of everyone so they could link in with each other. They could see what this woman did and they could write their own little, you know, story about what happened. And I think that was good advice. Yeah. I don't know.
We didn't talk about LinkedIn and there wasn't so much of a sense of anger in my group. It was more,
I ran a group last time just for, about COVID-19 and her co-leader is Howard. He's a social worker from JCS Baltimore. Anyway, my group everyone was so depressed. I mean, you know, really terrible situations. They're living mm-hmm. at home, spouse they don't like. They're living in a one-room apartment. They don't have a balcony. They can't go outside. I mean, everything that could go wrong. Yes. Oh, you know, this is okay. I love working at home, you know, and this happens again. Anyway.
Yeah.
Lisa, something's happening in your groups.
I don't know.
Well, it was the first meeting. It was our first meeting, so it was, you know, basically introductions. So we didn't really, you know.
Same with us. Yeah.
Yeah. So to be, you know, every group's different. You never know.
You really never know.
So that's a very nice offering, I think, that NJHSA and JPRO are putting forward. So that's really a nice thing.
So if you're interested, let me know.
Yeah. Or send, yeah. Okay. So that's what we wanted to basically cover today. And I do think we had a couple of really interesting ideas about topics for future, in addition to what, you know, the ongoing conversations we're having about this whole transition that we're in. So I'll keep you all apprised. We did have, I think it was open for June, but it was a little bit vague for June, but we'll, I'll give you all a heads up before the June meeting and people
June
can.
June 10th.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's,
and
it's,
then we don't
it's,
have any other meeting scheduled. So you have to look
right after that. We'll look to the next calendar year to see what we want. So don't hesitate to be in touch with me or Lisa about any thoughts you have with regard to today's meeting or future topics or anything. And as I said, I will put together a little overview of what we talked about today, just those things that I mentioned, and then a couple of links for people around and send Lisa the information so you can all get on. I'll send Lisa the information about the Economic Forum separately so everybody can have it for tomorrow, because that's so soon. And I think that's it for today. Any final thoughts or reactions to anything anybody wants to say? It was really nice. I think this was a nice group. I mean, this is some of our regulars and some new folks. So thank you all for participating. It was really nice to see everybody and hear everybody who's we can't see.
Amy, I had a question about that New Start Career Network. Can you get on our mailing list if you're not a resident of New Jersey?
You can. I'm on it.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So you don't have to be a New Jersey resident.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Anyone else have anything? Last thoughts?
Yeah. Other?
Okay. It was a good group. It was a good conversation. Really nice to see everyone.
Terrific. Thank you for coming, everybody.
Take care.
Thank you so much. That was great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Sandra.
Thank you.
Very nice. It's on the bottom right.
And you're recording. You can stop recording.